Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is side two of For the Record program number 516, interview with Daniel Hopsicker about the 9/11 cover-up in South Florida. Once again, it is my privilege and pleasure to be joined by Daniel Hopsicker. Daniel, welcome once again to our airwaves.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
Laughing and scratching out here in northern CA, Daniel. Laughing and scratching. By the way, this is being recorded on June 26th of 2005. We were talking as we closed outside one of the broadcasts. We were talking about Mohammed Atta's visitation to a Sun Cruise casino boat, apparently, along with some colleagues, and the fact that one of his apparent conspiratorial partners had also owned a casino boat. Let's talk about Sun Cruise casino boats.
Before we get to that,
sure.
Let's talk about what they were doing on a casino boat. Okay.
Yeah. What were they doing on a casino boat?
It's September 5th.
Yep.
You've got 5 nights left to live. What do you care whether it turns up red or black?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no thrill in gambling when you know you're going to die within the week. I can't believe there is. So what were they doing on the boat? I suspect the purpose was not to relax and enjoy themselves. I can't prove that. In fact, I have no evidence of that right at the moment. I certainly would like to find some. I'd like to know what they were doing on the boat, Dave.
Yep, this September 5th, 2001, Mohammed Atta and company, soon to leave this earth, are on a Sun Cruise casino boat in Florida.
Owned by Jack Abramoff, okay, who's the top fundraiser for the Republican Party. And remember, this is the year, this is 2001 we're talking about.
This is 5 days before the big kahuna. And bear in mind, too, that obviously on a casino boat, there are large amounts of cash. You mentioned that the oversight on these casino boats in Florida.
There's enough cash to kill for, apparently, because the chronology goes, Bush is elected president, in September 2001. In early February, the man that controls 11 of the unregulated gambling boats circling Florida is murdered in a hit that is precisely the same hit in precisely the same way as Don Arino, the cigarette boat manufacturer and close friend of George Bush Sr., was murdered 15 years earlier. I mean, eerily. One car pulls up on the left, the other car boxes in the back, and a car comes from the opposing direction and stops and fills your car full of lead.
And the fellow who, the late unfortunate previous owner of Sun Cruise, who was killed in that fashion, was Gus Boulis, B-O-U-L-I-S. And as you noted, it was the precise methodology of the apparent gangland killing of a guy named Don Arino. We're going to get into some of the connections that some of these people have.
But the point that needs to be made before going on, the point that needs to be made is why the murder is of interest is because the result of the murder was Republican lobbyist and chief fundraiser Jack Abramoff taking full control of 11 unregulated casino gambling ships around the state of Florida.
And but one of the things you mentioned, well, let's talk about Jack Abramoff and some of the many links that he has. Jack Abramoff, as you mentioned, is top fundraiser for the GOP. Strong links to the GOP right, small, very, very strong links to the Christian right and the Christian coalition of Pat Robertson and Ralph Reed. I guess with those links to the Christian right and to the GOP right, that's a classic case of two rights not making a right.
Right, but you're forgetting the mob.
Oh no, I haven't. Go ahead.
The person he brings in to run the casino fleet, for no apparent reason, is a man named Adam Kidon, or Kidon, from New York City, whose own mother had been murdered in a gangland hit 10 years previous.
Right, and he's the chairman of Sun Cruise with Abramoff as the vice chairman, which I guess is an appropriate title in this case.
What is the Republicans' chief fundraiser doing in business with a man reputed to be a mob associate?
And if you look, if you dolly out a little bit, on the other side of Jack Abramoff is the Christian Coalition. Ralph Reed, Pat Robertson. So he has very strong links to the Christian right with all of their self-righteous pronouncements about this and that.
And there you go. You're back at 9/11. Wally Hilliard, who owned the flight school Muhammad Atta was at, gave Jerry Falwell $1 million. That Jerry never felt the need to repay. And in something I don't believe I've stressed much at all, one of the pilots, one of the pilots that Muhammad Atta reputedly trained with, also flew flights to the Dominican Republic once a month as part of Pat Robertson's Operation Blessing.
Well, that is truly a case of manna from heaven, I guess, under the circumstances. Let's backtrack flesh out a little bit about some of these personalities and some of the chronology again. Now, Gus Boulis, B-O-U-L-I-S, he owns Sun Cruise Casinos, and he is then murdered on February 6, 2001. Jack Abramoff becomes vice chairman of Sun Cruise. Mr. Kidden, his first name is Adam Kidden, K-I-D-A-N. Becomes the chairman. Previously, his mother had been the victim of a gangland slaying. By the way, who was the person who was convicted of that killing?
No one's been charged. And I have an interview. I did an interview with a man who had met with Boulis just days before he was murdered, because Boulis wanted to sell his interest in the casinos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe I was the killer, but you write that Chris Pacello was actually convicted of the murder of Kidden's mother.
Oh, I thought you were asking me who had been convicted of Boulis's murder.
No one has
been charged, although it has been in print in mainstream newspapers that Fort Lauderdale detectives know who did it.
knowing and convicting are two different. But Chris Pacello was formerly Madonna's boyfriend, and he was convicted of killing.
There you go. And he was convicted in the hit on Adam Kidden's mom. Strangely enough, I mean, small world, small world. And then he became a government informant, and today lives free at an undisclosed location, and was recently negotiating with two different companies for movies on his story.
As you write, just another American success story.
Isn't that amazing? Yep. Isn't that amazing? You know, I mean, that was like when I found out that Rudy Decker's partner in his ill-fated airline, who had been participating while he hung out with Rudy in the looting, $300 million looting of huge pension funds in Portland, and had been given, this guy had been given $25 million by this pension fund to build a condominium project that was only budgeted to 12. And I wondered, where do you go to like get work like that?
Well, there are some people who certainly know. So again, Gus Boulis, a friend, by the way, of George Bush, is the guy who runs Sun Cruise. You mentioned that he was getting pressure, that he was being get pressured to sell but didn't want to sell. Can you flesh that out for us?
I don't know the whole story yet. I hope to know the whole story. I mean, we are dealing now with the elemental forces of the universe, as far as you and I understand them, Dave.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we're getting into the real money flows. Okay, someone wanted Gus Boulis out, and after he was murdered, Jack Abramoff took over. So perhaps. I don't know, maybe it's a leap, but perhaps someone thought that the same people that wanted Gus Boulis out thought that Jack Boulis should be the next owner.
Jack Abramoff, yeah.
Yeah, Abramoff, exactly. I mean, it's a remarkable occurrence.
Another evidentiary tributary running in the direction of your landmark work on Muhammad Atta and Rudy Deckers and Wally Hilliard, you mentioned a fellow named Jack Tillier, himself a former partner of Wally Hilliard's, and he had a lot of interesting things to disclose about Boulis. What did Jack Tillier say about Gus Boulis?
Right. Let me correct you just briefly. It's Rob Tillier.
Rob Tillier, excuse me.
R-O-B-B, Tillier. He's a fascinating individual. With knowledge of both scandals we're talking about currently. I mean, he was supposedly going into business with in an airline venture with Wally that eventually became apparently the other airline that we've been talking about. They were going to do Havana Air together, and so he was meeting with Wally while Otto was there and knows who Wally Hilliard is and was a source. Actually, there was a point when I met this individual, I discovered that the activities that were going on in Venice were also going on in Naples. That it was, you know, and it was the same thing. Naples is where, Florida is where Hilliard and Magic Dutch Boy Rudy Deckers live. So that was when I began to, like, look into Wally Hilliard. And he's connected in that way, but he's a colorful character, and he was also instrumental in the inception of Indian gambling, Indian gaming, which was... started, really took off when the Seminole tribe in Florida exercised the mandate to expand beyond, like, being a bingo hall. And then he helped other tribes around the country do the same thing. So he saw the birth of what is today a pretty big industry with kicking off a lot of cash and totally unregulated, just the same way these casino boats parking themselves around Florida are unregulated, meaning no one knows who owns them, no one knows how much cash they make, no one knows whether the games are fixed in that same way.
Hey, one of the things you write about is that Rob Tiller, again, a former partner of Wally Hilliard's. Wally Hilliard's the fellow who, along with Rudy Deckers, ran Huffman Aviation, one of the apparent vehicles for Mohammed Atta and company to infiltrate the U.S., Rob Tiller was no stranger to Gus Boulos, and he was chatting with Boulos about a week before Boulos was whacked. Again, that killing on February 6, 2001.
Yeah, and the story, as I heard it from him, made perfect sense. He was at the heart of Indian gaming, along with Seminole Chief James Billy, and the two of them are kind of legendary figures in South Florida. So Gus Boulos calling him to come see him, and then telling him that he wanted to sell his casino boats to the Seminoles makes sense. So I believed him when he told me that he had a meeting with Gus, less than a week before he died, in which he was, very nervous and agitated, and, said, there are some people think I don't need the Soros anymore. I want to get out of the business. I want to sell my casinos to the Seminoles. Some people think I make a lot more money than I really do. And 3 days later, he's dead.
And Rob Tiller compared the style of the gangland killing of Gus Boulos with the style of the slaying of Donald Aronow. What, in addition to the manner of their deaths, what else did Don Aronow and Gus Boulos have in common?
I think the suggestion was that they both worked for Bush. I mean, although I have no evidence to show it, to prove it, that was the suggestion that I heard. So
this being the
you know, because the big question here is, who is Gus Boulos? Who is Gus Boulos representing? Because Gus Boulos got muscled out of a multi-billion-dollar unregulated cash flow in Florida, mm-hmm, in early 2002, and we kind of know who muscled them out. It was like Republican muscle, okay? But who was Gus Boulos standing in front of? What organization did he represent?
Mm-hmm.
The suggestion that I heard was that he worked for Bush.
The elder Bush, right?
Correct. Well, I don't know, the elder or the younger. That the situation was similar, actually analogous to that of Aronow's, and actually I think the voice that I was speaking to was lamenting the fact that so many Bush lieutenants ended up dead.
Well, yeah, Donald Aronow certainly would have been more closely affiliated with the elder George Bush, to whom he sold one of his cigarette boats. That also touches on the milieu of Barry Seal. I wonder, you know, maybe it's kind of a tall order, but can you tell us a little bit about Don Aronow and how he came to fall within the Bush orbit?
Well, I mean, the interesting thing about it is it shows the most curious thing that was going on at the time, which was that the Vice President of the United States, instead of flying around the world to, like, you know, dictators' funerals, was leading the South Florida Drug Task Force, okay? You know, was tasking himself with a middle-level job, you know, in the judiciary branch. Why was the Vice President of the United States so interested in the flow of drugs through Florida? And Arano is the inventor of the cigarette boat. And cigarette boats were instrumental in bringing in drugs once they figured that they could have motherships offshore, and cigarette boats would ferry stuff into shore. And that was a very efficient method of distribution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Arano, I mean, was a friend of George Bush Sr.'s, no doubt for other reasons, okay? But he did sell six cigarette boats to the president's drug task force. So, I mean, there was a connection there. But you never know. But Arano sure upset somebody because he was murdered in a highly efficient manner, which turns out to be the exact same manner that Gus Bulis was murdered. And I just find that, I mean, I'd like to know more about it. I mean, I don't pretend to know the true story, my friend.
I think Arano was killed right about the same time as Barry Seal, right around 1986, I believe.
Yeah, in that same time period. I think a little earlier, but I'm not. Maybe a little later. I'll be honest with you, I'm not exactly sure at the moment. And then I hear this voice. I mean, what if Gus Bulis did work for Bush? You know, that would be an interesting. I mean, you know, how could that be? You know,
well, certainly Rob Tiller suggests that both the late Don Arano and the late Gus Bulis, both slain in identical fashions, were both tied in with apparently the elder George Bush. And, of course, as you write about in Barry and the Boys, Barry Seal was no stranger to the elder George Bush either. And one of the things that it's interesting, you mentioned the elder Bush's role in the South Florida Drug Task Force. The vice president was doing some interesting things in the early 80s. It was the vice president's task force on combating terrorism that led to the formation of the networks that were used for Iran-Contra and Iraqgate. The vice president's task force on financial deregulation led to the savings and loan debacle, which ultimately overlaps the Iran-Contra affair. And then you've got the vice president leading the South Florida Drug Task Force, and those three task forces appear to have been major elements in the Iran-Contra affair and others.
You know, as you list the elements, I realize that if I could ask, you know, Mr. Big one question, mm-hmm. It would be, what do you do with all the money?
Well, I think he would probably tell you that to answer that question wouldn't be prudent. So I wouldn't count on hearing that. By the way, another thing, a very interesting detail about the elder Bush that has been overlooked. When he was president, he dissolved the Federal Organized Crime Strike Force, which had been the major vehicle for the federal government to try to sideline some of these organized crime operators. And I'm sure that did nothing to alienate George Bush and some of these organized crime figures, too. So that's something else to sort of weigh in this equation.
Well, you know what we're talking about, as I think about it? What we're talking about is exactly the same thing that Peter L. Scott talks about when he talks about deep politics, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the world as it really is, instead of the world as it appears in the newspaper every day.
There's a phrase you've used in a number of contexts. You've used it in several articles and in several books. The phrase "elite deviant." Tell us about that. Just what does that mean?
Oh, that was a quote I pulled, and I used it as my signature for a couple of years because it was so good, from a book I'd never heard of before, called "Elite Deviants" by a sociologist. And it was in its fifth edition, so apparently it's popular in sociologists, but elite deviants, and I could see why when I read it, because it describes the condition in a society when the elite of the society no longer believe that the rules apply to them. And that's exactly, and that led the book to talking about another concept that I had never heard of called state-sponsored crime. A university professor coined that. That's crime that you see that looks like, well, it could be mob, you know, I mean, it's they're busting out a company or a savings or loan, you know. You don't know, but it's really like one large organization sucking money out of the economy. I figure you know, I mean, going along the lines of, like, what do you do with all the money, okay?
Right.
If the wacky stories about the existence of reptoids are true, I figure they've you know, given the Bush inner circle the idea that for $1 trillion apiece they can buy immortality.
Yeah, well, there are some of the more nefarious conspiracy theories talking about, you know, yeah, the reptiles are among us. Certainly there are some snakes around. There's no doubt about that.
But I'm making a joke about it because the money flows are truly gargantuan.
They are. They're huge. And very briefly, let me just give another overview of this before we plunge in still further. We're talking about Sun Cruise casino boats visited by Mohammed Atta, whose inner circle also included at least one other casino boat owner, a Lebanese convenience store owner. You know, another thing about that, people who own convenience stores don't own casino boats. I mean, it's two different kinds of business operations ordinarily. So it gives us an idea that something else is going on here. Sun Cruise, owned by Gus Boulos, reputed friend of the elder George Bush. Gus Boulos is getting pressure to sell. He doesn't want to sell. He's talking to Rob Tiller, associate of Wally Hilliard, who owns the flight schools along with Rudy Deckers at Mohammed Atta and Company come in through.
And this is the world that Mohammed Atta is living in.
Yep. And Mohammed Atta was living in, we're still living in this world to a certain extent, or at least the ramifications of it. February 6, 2001, Gus Boulos is gunned down in a manner very much like that of former Bush associate Donald Aronow. And now, Sun Cruise is owned by Jack Abramoff, and Adam Kidden. And Jack Abramoff, not only one of the top GOP fundraisers, but with a person who has very strong links to, among other elements, the Republican Christian right. Pat Robertson, Ralph Reed, kind of like Wally Hilliard, and Jerry Falwell.
He's feeding money to these operations through his gambling boats. He's also one of the reasons that Gus may have perished from this earth was that Abramoff had a deal with the Marianas to bring casino boats there, and the Marianas already have Saipan already has a casino affiliated with Mr. Abramoff and is within a 3-hour plane flight of more than half of the people on the planet. So Jack has his eye on a bigger prize.
It's very interesting to see how some of these, you talk about strange bedfellows, and we've got some very strange bedfellows here. And once again, lest we lose sight of it, one of the people moving through this environment is Mohammed Atta and some of his other associates. One of the things you mentioned, too, now we've touched on the fact that a lot of the people who knew what Mohammed Atta had actually been doing in Florida expressed fear for their lives and or for the lives of their families. A similar aura of fear and terror, so to speak, surrounded those who knew Gus Boulos in the aftermath of his killing.
I was shocked to discover that. I just pulled up clips from the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel from the day after the murder, and they quoted a number of witnesses as being too afraid to talk,
mm-hmm.
which is spooky.
Literally, nice unintentional pun there. Yes, indeed, because we saw something very similar in the aftermath of September 11th. One of the things you write about, and obviously, is the 9/11 cover-up in Florida, and an awful lot of people who knew about Deckers, Hilliard, Huffman, Atta's associates just flat out wouldn't talk. And you interview them and say, "Look, you know, I have a family. I have to think about them." And so obviously, they weren't worried about Mohammed Atta.
And I had heard, strangely enough, that line came right out of a Sun Sentinel or AP report. I have a family to think about. I heard that same line from an executive of Wally Hilliard's operation, so it resonated with me when I read it in someone else had said it on the other side of the island.
Sounds very much like the associates of Gus Boulos and Wally Hilliard and Rudy Deckers believe in conspiracy theories.
I don't know what the big picture is, Dave.
Well, I think actually, you know, your disclaimer to the contrary notwithstanding, I think you've got a pretty good idea of what the big picture is. And fortunately for all of us, you have been gradually painting by numbers, so to speak, and filling that picture in for us by degrees. And my understanding is that in the coming week, you are going to be publishing on your website an article about Sam the Sham Kuchesvahani.
Yeah, exactly. He's an integral part of what was going on in San Diego, and he phoned somebody at 4 in the morning, who I'd quoted in one of my stories, talking about him, phoned him, and threatened his life 2 weeks ago.
And when you're getting
And the threat was taken seriously by the man I named in my story, because in the anecdote he told me about Kuchesvahani, Kuchesvahani was brandishing a tire iron. This notion is reinforced by the fact that Kuchesvahani was a former Savak agent, and I don't know that they were noted for their gentle treatment of political prisoners over there.
Yeah, the Savak, by the way, was the secret police of the former Shah of Iran, and they were noted for brutality. So, yes, certainly, I think Mr. Chachizi has every reason to take the threats from Mr. Kuchesvahani seriously. One of the things that makes a warning like that so resonant, obviously, Daniel, is the fact that you look at what happens to some of the people in these environments who either don't hear or don't heed the warnings, and when you see what happens to the likes of Gus Bulis, Don Aronow, and others, when you get a warning like that, it certainly it gives one pause to think, and certainly could do an awful lot towards silencing those who might come forward with information that would.
Well, see, this guy isn't. This guy just saw things. He's not in the same life that these other people you're talking about were in.
Mm-hmm.
He's just an eyewitness, an American eyewitness. And he was threatened with his life by a former member of the intelligence service of another country.
Mm-hmm. In the United States, we should mention.
In the United States. I mean, who this guy thinks he is, I think, is about to become a question of some interest to me.
Yeah, well, you know, he certainly is a very interesting fellow with connections running from weapons dealing to the milieu of the 9/11 hijackers in San Diego to the Heaven's Gate suicide cult a few years ago, and you have been tracing many of these links down for us over the recent months. Danny, we're almost out of time here. Once again, tell us about your website where people can get articles, videos, and welcome to Terrorland and Barry and the Boys.
The Mad Cow Morning News at Mad Cow PROD, Mad Cow Prod. .com, Mad Cow Productions.
And that's where people can read about the article about the second Mohammed Atta, the second Mohammed of Venice, and also about the growing investigation around Mr. Abramoff, the killing of Gus Bulis, Sun Cruise, casino boats, and the things that we have been talking about here. Also, I want listeners to note the website of Spitfire, www.spitfirelist.com. Tons of printed information, tons of audio, including now the first two lectures that I've done available for download for free on MP3. There's a page to click on to support the work that I'm doing. Links to two websites by WFMU, www.wfmu.org/Dave Emery, with more recent For the Record programs streaming on both Real Audio and also on MP3. And also, bear in mind that WFMU is now podcasting the For the Record shows, and the interviews that I've done with Daniel Hopsicker are all available on the WFMU website. There's also a link to another website that has the rest of the older For the Record shows available for download on Real Audio. Daniel, once again, thanks for your work. Keep it up, and we will keep the listening audience abreast of just what it is that you're uncovering down there in South Florida.
Thank you, Dave. Good to talk to you.
All righty. Keep up the great work, Daniel. We have been speaking with Daniel Hopsicker, the author of, among other titles, Welcome to Terrorland and Barry and the Boys. We've been talking about the Sun Cruise conspiracy and also the second Mohammed in Venice. This concludes For the Record program number 516, Side 2. This has been recorded on June 26th of 2005. For Daniel Hopsicker, this is Dave Emery saying thanks for listening.